Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series. Don't back down from your victory. You are studying Lesson 1, How to Get Everything God Has for You. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it.
We're studying the field of prayer and the different kinds of prayer. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is alive and well at the right hand of Almighty God, and prayer in His name will change things, circumstances. It'll change lives, praise God. And we need to know how to conduct ourselves in the field of prayer, how to take advantage of everything that Jesus provided for us on the cross and being raised from the dead, everything He's providing now as Lord, head of the church. He said, all power has been given unto me both in heaven and in earth when He was raised from the dead. And He said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. So we need to know how to conduct ourselves in the process of receiving from God those things that He has provided for us in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we praise You today on this broadcast, and we ask You in Jesus' name to open our understanding, flood our spirits with the light of Your Word concerning prayer and prayer that changes things. And we give You all the praise and the honor in the name of Jesus. Amen. Once again, let's read from the book of Ephesians quickly, from the 6th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on, you is the understood subject of the sentence there, you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now what he's saying here is that the full armor of God enables us, gives us His might, His power. So actually what he's saying here is, because he's talking about this armor as prayer armor, you read in the 18th verse. So really what he's saying here is that our prayer lives are carried out in His power. So this is what we're learning. We're learning how to pray in the power of God instead of in our own strength or in our own desperation. There's a lot of people that get caught up in praying despair all the time. Oh, God, I'm so bad off. Oh, things are so bad. Oh, can't you see? Oh, don't you know? Oh, if we could just get... And actually, that's not prayer at all. It's just rehearsal of the problems. We need to put on the full armor of God in obedience to the Word and realize that it enables us to stand. It enables us in the power of His might. That's just vitally important. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is not the problem. That's the reason I bring this up every day we study it, because people are not your problem. The devil uses people, but it's the devil and his bunch is the problem. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. Well, they're not our rulers then, are they? If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're a child of the light. Praise God. Amen. Against spiritual wickedness in high places, this cross-reference says heavenly places, or if you just look back in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, it'll tell you what those places are. It says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. the prince of the power of the air. This heavenly area right here. Now remember that, because that's going to come up over here in the book of Matthew in a moment. We're going to look at this with real interesting ideas today. So stay with me. Then he lists the full armor of God. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. So we're standing in His might. We're standing in His will, in His word. We're standing in His armor. And we're standing in His word, praise God. Having done all to stand, well, what? Having done what? Well, put on the full armor of God, for one thing. If you just, having done all to stand, if you just start backing up through the Scripture there, you back up through the full armor of God, then you back up through what to do if you're an employer, what to do if you're an employee, and you come up what to do if you're a father and a mother, what to do if you're a child, and you just keep backing up, and He tells you what to do concerning your everyday life of conduct. Well, having done these things, stand, praise God. I mean, stand in His might. So, praying then always with all prayer. As we said earlier, praying always with all manner of prayer, one translation says. Praying always with all kinds of prayer. Different kinds of prayer call for different spiritual laws that govern those fields of prayer. Now let's go over to Matthew the 18th chapter, where we're dealing with prayer that changes circumstances and things. Now, that's different from the prayer of intercession. It's different from the prayers of dedication and worship. It's different from united prayer. A lot of those spiritual laws. Now, for instance, we use the name of Jesus in every one of these prayers. Another thing you need to remember is we stand on the Word of God in every one of these prayers. And another thing, in all of these different kinds of prayer, faith makes prayer work. Prayer don't make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. You can use your faith without being in a form of prayer or supplication, but you can't pray without using your faith and have it do any good. So, we're talking in prayer that changes things and circumstances, or a better way to put that would be like this. This kind of praying, prayer that changes things, prayer of agreement, prayer of binding and loosing, The other different areas of prayer that changes things, petition and supplication, prayers of intercession. These things, these kinds of prayer, rather, bring things and circumstances in line with what God's Word has already said. For instance, I may have, at some time or another, some symptom of sickness or disease or a malfunction in my body. There may be fever there. There might be, you know, pain or something. What I'm doing then as I pray is believe that I receive. Jesus said, therefore, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. I believe that I receive the healing that God has already provided in Christ Jesus. Now, what am I doing? Well, for one thing, I'm not just begging God to heal me. I am receiving from Him. Let's take it over in the area of salvation now. When you got saved, you remember how that happened. You didn't just start in and say, oh, dear God, I'm lost and I'm a sinner. What am I going to do? I'm going to go to hell. Oh, God, save me. Oh, God, don't let me go to hell. Oh, God, won't save me. Oh, God, save me. Somebody said, why don't you ask Jesus to come in your heart? I can't. I'm not saved. Huh? What do you mean you can't? Oh, well, Jesus is Lord. You know, He's Lord of the righteous. That's the reason I'm asking Him to save me, so that I could ask Him to come in my heart. You know what's going to happen? Nothing. You can see through that. You had to ask Jesus to come in your heart first. Man, I mean, you can't get saved without that. Well, just translate that now over to the area of healing, because He bought and paid for that on the same day, on the same cross, in the same body, with the same blood. And you pray it in the same name. So, you're believing you receive Him as your healer, the Savior of your body, as well as the Savior of your spirit and your soul. So, you're receiving His salvation ministry in that area. So, I invite the healing power of God to flow into my body. Now I take a stand against those symptoms, against that sickness, against that disease, against the devil and all of his regime, everything that he stands for, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in the air here. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, sickness. I rebuke you, disease. I take a stand against you, fever. I command you out of my body. I receive my healing. I'm the healed. You're not going to put that on me in Jesus' name. Now I move over into the prayer of thanksgiving and praise. Father, I just want to praise you and thank you and worship you. You'll find out as you study the Bible, praise is a mighty weapon against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in heavenly places. Now, let's go back over here to the book of Matthew because we were talking about the prayer of agreement and the prayer of binding and loosing. Jesus said, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's not talking about the heaven where God is. It's already been taken care of there. The devil's already been kicked out of heaven. Now, he's talking about what? He's talking about this atmospheric heaven, the prince of the power of the air, wicked spirits in heavenly places. He said, whatsoever you shall bind on earth. This is earth's job. It's not God's job. It's earth's job. Heaven has already bound principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. From heaven down, heaven has decreed that as far as heaven is concerned, these devils are bound. In other words, they can't come back to heaven. They can't come there and do anything. They are bound. They've been kicked out of there. Now, Jesus has taken all of their authority away from them and said, all power has been given unto me both in heaven and in earth. He went on to heaven and said, you go in the earth and you take my name and you cast out the devil. You bind him on the earth. This is earth's responsibility. You're on the earth. I'm on the earth. This is our God-given responsibility. And I want to tell you something, dear heart. If you don't do it in your household, with your family, in your body, in your mind, if you don't do these things, it won't get done. You can cry from now on to get God to do it. He's already done his part. This belongs to earth. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in the heavenlies. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in the heavens. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, we found out here by reading this that any two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The very power of Jesus, the very power of his name, the very power of the Holy Spirit, guaranteed by the new covenant, is here when you and I will set ourselves in agreement. And when we set ourselves in agreement together and we pray and then we bind Satan and we come against him with the word of the living God, I'm telling you, my brother and sister, he has had it. He's done. You can ship his saddle home, brother. He's through. You hearing what I'm saying to you? But if you don't do this, if you're going to continue to say, well, you know, our family's just accident prone. Well, my great granddaddy died of that, and my uncle died of it, and my grandpa died of it, my daddy died of it. I guess I'll die to it too. And just roll over and play dead. No, no, no. Oh, yes, Brother Copeland. Ah, yes, you know, I've made Jesus the Lord of my life, and I believe healing is for us today. And someday I know God will heal us. No, someday don't ever come, brother. Someday is already here, praise God. If you've come together and set yourselves in agreement. I remember a number of years ago, they came out with a deal, you know, warning everybody about the swine flu. I mean, can you imagine anybody wanting to catch the flu off a hog? I mean, dear God, you ought to be able to tell me the name of it. God didn't have nothing to do with it. I mean, you know, he ain't just wild about pork to start with. And then he come in here with the swine flu. You ain't ever heard of the heavenly flu. Well, I don't know, you know, Brother Copeland, God might have put that flu on us. He ain't got the flu. He doesn't have the flu. All right? The flu's not going to stay in his presence. Amen. Now listen to me. They put a, go get those flu shots. I called all my family together. I've told you this before, but I'll tell you, it's good. I want to hear it again. So, I called all the family in, Gloria and the kids, and got everybody around the coffee table there in the living room. I said, we're going to take flu shots. Boy, back then the kids were, they were, you know, they were about middle-aged, about 10. And so they were around the coffee table there. I told them, I'd go get your Bible. Every one of them got their Bible. John was, you know, he's about 7 or 8. Kelly's about 10. And Gloria got her Bible and got around the table. I said, we're going to take the flu shot. Oh, John's eyes got about that big. So we started in. We went over here to the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, where it said sickness and disease is a curse. And we read the first 14 verses of that scripture, which says that's the promise of Abraham, the blessing of the Lord. And so we went over to Galatians 3:13, where it says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so we've been redeemed from the curse of the swine flu. Praise God, we're redeemed from sickness and disease. Matthew 8:17, himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, that it might be fulfilled. Oh, glory to God, it's been fulfilled. Then we went across the Word, and we looked in all different kinds of places. Whatsoever we shall ask the Father in Jesus' name, He'll give it us. And we finally wound up right here on this scripture, and we set ourselves in agreement that we are free from any kind of flu, any kind of sickness, any kind of disease. We're not going to have it in this household. And we wrote it down. And when we wrote the thing down, see, everybody prayed the same words. We all said, yes, amen, and each one of us put our names on it, in Jesus' name. Signed, in Jesus' name, Kenneth and Gloria and John scratched on there, and then, you know, I mean, we had Kelly put her name. We agreed. Now, from that point on, I mean, the slightest symptom, the slightest thought about having any kind of flu, no! Boy, I mean, just throw a fit, stand! I've got my armor on, praise God. I'm saved. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm standing on the Word. And I hit you, Satan, with this scripture. And just outline, I could say it is written because we wrote it down. And just hit him with it in the name of Jesus. All of us did. Not any of us have ever had the flu since. And I mean, John and Kelly both are grown and married, and Kelly's got a house full of kids. And I mean, you know, we hadn't had the flu since. Not had any flu since that. One afternoon, I did have symptoms for about 20 minutes, and I said, no, you don't! In the name of Jesus, get out of my house! You don't belong in here! No, we agreed years ago. We don't have the flu in this house, so get out of here! And he's gone. Oh, I wish that had happened for me. Well, wishing won't get it. You're going to have to come together in it, and when we agreed now, all of us agreed together. Then I just took authority over the devil. I said, no, this family binds you, Mr. Devil. You can't come in here with flu. You can't come in here with fever. You can't come in here with achy bones. In the name of Jesus, you get out of this household. Now, I'll tell you this. There came a time when Kelly and John had to take that same authority in their households. Kelly and Wynn and their kids have to stand against the devil. We can help, but now they have their own households. They're established now. They have to bring that authority under their command. See, there's only just so much I can do there now because they're grown responsible for believing God on their own. Now, this same principle, you understand that principle. Well, this same principle is true where spiritual growth is concerned. You weren't born again a full-grown baby. You had to grow up spiritually. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that we grow up into Him in all things. There is a time when you have to get on the Word of God concerning meat instead of milk. And that's what this program is about. We don't feed much milk. We feed some meat, praise God, for you to live on. There come a time, I've heard people say, I did it myself. I said, you know, when I first got saved, brother, I mean, anybody pray for me. And anything that happened, I mean, I just got well, got healed. But I mean, it's got to where, I mean, everybody in the world lay hands on me and pray, it doesn't do any good. I've heard other people say, boy, I'll tell you, you know, for a long time there, it seemed like anybody could pray for me and I'd get my healing. But I'm telling you, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, Jerry Savelle, T.L. Osborne, Kenneth Copeland all put together. And it just seemed like I just can't get anything from anybody. Well, it's time for you, you big old baby. It's time for you to grow up and start doing your own praying. It's time for you to grow up and stand on the Word of God for yourself. Oh, yeah, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to stumble and bang around and fall. But get up and go again. Hallelujah. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. How long do I have to stand, Brother Copeland? Forever. What? Yeah, forever. When you plan on standing there forever, I mean, the Word of God's forever, ain't it? When you plan on standing there forever, you ain't going to be there all that long. It's when you just figure on, well, maybe if I say this 10 times, something happens. No, I'll just forget. Well, I believe I'm going to try this faith stuff. You know what you're about to do. That's like somebody saying, I believe I'm going to try fasting for 2 days. You're about to eat 9 of the biggest meals you have ever eaten in all your life because that little devil said, oh, he's going to fast. Get to eat. Well, I think I'm going to try this faith stuff. Oh, dear God, don't let him get off on that faith stuff. And here they come. And you say it 3 times, oh, that don't work for me. And then get mad, write me some ugly letter, you know. And you're just killing and making feeble the faith that you needed to be standing on. We're not trying faith. You do it. You make the decision to pray, and you do it. You make the decision to walk in the Word of God, and you do it. If you're going to fast for a day, make the decision, stand on the Word of God, and say, food will not cross my lips until 6 o'clock tomorrow night in the name of Jesus, and I will receive. And then go up to the 58th chapter of Isaiah and find all the promises that are lined out there for those that do fast and stand on. Oh, my God, my light will rise in the middle like noonday sun, and my healing will spring forth mightily. All those are promises, you see, to the person that fasts. And so you stand on it, you move out there, and now you don't need to go on 40, 50, 60 day fast. I mean, there's not any fast in the Bible over 40 days, and Jesus did that, and you're not called to do that kind of thing. If God speaks to you and you know that you know that you know, that's different. But most fasting that you and I'll do is 2-3 days, usually 5 at the most. I've been on longer fast than that, but God called me to be on it and told me to be on it for a specific reason. One time I fasted 5 days, and there was a girl raised from the dead on the 5th day. So you see, there are different things. No, she was raised dead. Yeah, it was on the 5th day. All right. Bind principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. Now, we're going to go into the Bible in tomorrow's broadcast, and I want to show you some of these things in operation in the Bible. This is going to be a very interesting thing for tomorrow, so I don't want you to miss it. If it looks like you're going to miss it, get somebody to tape it for you or turn your VCR on. In the name of Jesus, I set myself in agreement with you for money enough to get you a VCR, okay, and hook it up to your TV where you can tape these broadcasts. If you don't do anything else, get your little cassette deck and set it right there somehow. You can manage to do it in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray together today. I pray for this television audience. In the name of Jesus, that they be made whole, spirit and soul and body, financially and socially, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you go get the Bible, you find God's promises, and you fill in those blanks, and you set yourself in agreement. If you want to, you write that thing down. You should write it down. The Bible says, write down the vision.
Whoa, now wait a minute, you ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around, yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn and remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.